once that faith gets moving, we have to have a place to direct it. Somebody say amen. Yes, so we focused on that, creating the momentum of faith last series, and now we want to say where to? Where are we going? What is it that we're supposed to get in motion and start moving toward? That's the question that comes up. Where should this momentum of faith created in us through God take us? And I believe that every single one of us has a new territory that we are to take for His kingdom that has been placed in our life. Every single person here has a territory to step into. And I believe there are people that you're standing right at the precipice, right ready to cross over into new territory, new places that you haven't been before. In this next few weeks, we're going to consider and talk about how to prepare to take that territory, and then we're going to do it. Somebody say amen. Yep. So I want to start this morning with reading a quote from my favorite author. One of my favorite authors is a guy named C.S. Lewis. How many of you have heard of C.S. Lewis? We talk about him a lot. He writes more than children's books, although his children's books will actually go ahead and read them because they'll shore up your theology. They're pretty good, right? But C.S. Lewis has a quote. He says this, "Enemy occupied territory. That is what the world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed. You might say landed in disguise and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage." Isn't that awesome? That the Lord has landed and He's calling upon us to take part of a great campaign of sabotage. You know, the enemy has a territory he's tried to claim in this world. But how many of you know that Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And in order for it to be done on earth as it is in heaven, that means we as a people are going to have to be a people who take seriously the call to get our faith in motion and to possess the land that the Lord has called us into. Somebody say amen. See, the promise to possess or to take new territory, it comes a long way in Scripture. It starts at the very beginning. Adam's assignment from the very beginning of Genesis had an element of possessing in it. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 7, it says this. It says, "Multiply and fill the earth." Right? It tells us that's what we're to do. Let's read it here. "Be fruitful, multiply, increase greatly on the earth, multiply in it." That speaks of possessing something. Somebody say amen. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost and forfeited that territory to Satan. And then God launched His plan to take it back. How many of you know God had a plan? Two people over here. God had a plan. God has a plan. God is not bereft of plans. God has not lost His way. God is not winging it. We are. Let's be honest, we are. Like, how many things do you have to Google how to do? Let's just be honest. You're winging it a little bit. But He has a plan, and He's had a plan from the very start. Somebody say amen. His plan included the promise of a Savior whose name is Jesus. Through His death and His resurrection, He would take back the final territory and begin to restore it all back to God, who is its rightful owner. Amen. And after Adam, the next phase of God's territory-taking plan was again wrapped in a promise, and this time to a man named Abraham. Somebody say Abraham. We did a lot of study of him last year, talking about covenants and promises of God. And in Genesis chapter 22, verses 17 and 18, it says this, "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies." Come on, I like that one right there. Yeah? "And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." See, taking possession is about obedience. Hello? See, God used many men and women to further His territory-taking plan, but He used one very clearly, and we're going to look at him in just a moment, and his name is Joshua. It fell on Joshua to lead the people of Israel into a physical territory that God had promised them. And it began with God reiterating his promise to take the land. You know, Moses began. Moses set out on the mission. How many of you know Moses was never allowed to go in? Moses never entered into the promised land. You know whose job that was? It was Joshua's. By the way, there's something interesting to be said. Your life is about making it possible for the next generation to make entrance into places you've never been. Give your life to that. Give your life to that. Amen? It's about us doing everything we can so that those who come behind us can go further than we ever imagined we could go. Amen? See, Moses took them to the edge, but Joshua had to take them in. And in Genesis chapter 22, verses 17, Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, and it says this, and this is the Lord speaking to Joshua, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses." That's an interesting thought because Moses received the promise. Joshua saw it through. I believe that there is a lot of generational promises that are on a lot of lives in this place. There are mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers here that you're never going to enter the land, but you're going to make it possible for those that come behind you and your family to do so. You're setting them up for success. Praise God. Amen. By the way, you're going into territory that your forefathers could not enter. But we need to understand that not only are we completing the dream of the last generation, we're setting up the dream of the next. Isn't that awesome? See, that's how you really take territory. It's about constantly advancing, ever advancing, age by age, glory to glory, generation to generation. Amen? The world should not be getting worse. The world should be getting better because we're in it. Amen? And by the way, I don't think it's as bad as everybody's saying anyway. The quest to take territory for God is an ongoing one, and it's not always set to be a physical or a geographical place as it was in Genesis and in the early days of Israel, but it's every bit as real, the territory that God is calling you to take. And to take new territory for God in this world, it's still the very basic calling of every single believer. You did not know when you said yes to Jesus, you were signing up to be part of an invasion. That's what it's really about, an invasion. See, we've got it backwards. See, we thought we were signing up to be secluded, right? But we're here to invade. God says the kingdom should take over. Somebody say amen. This means we have to personally take all of his promises to heart, and we can draw many parallels, learn valuable lessons from biblical history about how Israel took the territory of the promised land for God, that the thing that God gave them, and we're going to do so in the weeks to come. We're going to look at what this means to invade the promised land, the territory, to take it for God. So the question arises, what will you do with the promises that God has made to you? Every single one of us has to answer this question on a personal level. What am I going to do with the promise that God has given to me? What am I going to do? Jesus said words such as this in like Matthew 28, 19, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Amen? And then he says in Acts 1, 8, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And these words strongly point to God's ongoing desire and plan for us to take territory and for his kingdom to be advanced and to be extended. His promise for taking new territory is just as valid now as it was in Acts. Just as valid now as when he spoke in Matthew. Amen? The question is how are we going to respond to it? What are we going to say? Every single one of us is responsible for our response to God's word. Come on. Romans 4:20 says this, "I believe we need to be like-minded as Abraham." It says this, "No unbelief made him waver. Say waver. Concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. You got the next one, guys? It's all right, I'll read it here. Be strong as he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised to do. Let me read that again. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded. Say, fully persuaded. That God had the power to do what he promised. Amen? God will finish what he starts. God will finish it. He has the power to do it. And we have to begin to follow Abraham's example. If you're going to take the territory that God has for you, there's going to be some obedience that has to happen. There's going to have to be some things that we're going to have to do. Let's look at Abraham's example. First thing we have to do, do not doubt or waver. Don't waver. How many of you have ever been a little bit of a waffle on something? You know what I mean? Gone back and forth, right? See, we are coming to the day where we as believers have to be certain in what God has called us to do. Certain in our conviction, certain in our path, and not waver. Amen? See, what we've done is we've become a little bit too easy to talk out of what God has said. But see, it tells us Abraham did not waver. Amen? Now, Abraham messed up. Abraham made mistakes. Abraham didn't get it always right, but he did not waver. Amen? If God promised it to you, you got to hold on to that and not doubt. Somebody say amen. We got to believe God. We've got to believe his promises are yes and amen. You know, guys, this isn't rocket science stuff. But how many of you know that too often we treat God like he's a liar? Can I just be that blunt about it? God, did you really say that? God, did you really mean that? God, were you sure about that? Like, God ever says anything he's not certain about. No, I mean, serious. But we do. We treat God like he's a fickle human being, and he is not. When God says something, he means it. The Bible tells us that his call is without repentance. That when he places a call on your life or a promise over your life, he does not take it back. Come on. You know, the word repentance, you've heard me say this probably 1,000 times by now. It literally means, in the Greek, metanoia, think differently. And when God puts a call on your life, he doesn't think differently. He doesn't change his mind. Right? Without repentance. Repentance literally means change your mind. Think differently. And God's call is without repentance. Amen? Next we have to do, we got to be strengthened in our faith, which means we're going to give glory to God. Somebody say amen. And then be fully persuaded that God is able to do what he promises. To have confidence not in your ability, but in his ability. To have confidence in what he's able to do. To be fully persuaded, which means nobody can talk you out of it. That if God said he can do it, he's going to do it. Guys, we've got to be, listen, I know I said this morning, we got to raise our expectation levels. Amen? We've got to raise our expectation level. We have been just kind of flatlining through life, but it's time for us to raise our expectation. It's time for us to once again demand and expect miracle signs and wonders to be happening in the lives of people. Amen? To be convinced that God can heal. To be fully persuaded that God will save and deliver this generation. To be fully convinced of the miracle working power of a loving Father who wants to do good for you. Fully persuaded. I'm not fully perfected, but I am fully persuaded that God is good. And I believe he does miracles. Amen? How convinced are you today? How convinced are you? He wants us to be so convinced of him that we're willing to lay it all on the line. That we're willing to say there's no turning back. You know that wonderful story, history story about Cortez that Stephen Curtis Chapman made very famous in a song. Some of you don't know who that is. That's okay. But, you know, Cortez, who was an explorer, a Spanish explorer, he came to these shores, to the shores looking for gold. And that's what he wanted. He wanted to find gold. And they thought it would just be lying on the beaches when they got there. Truth is, it wasn't. They were going to have to go in. They were going to have to do some work. They were going to have to possess some territory. Now, you can talk about the ethics of how he possessed that territory all day long, and that's not what I'm here to discuss. I'm here to discuss the attitude of what he did, which was when the men began to grumble that it wasn't easy, he set the ships on fire. And he said, if you want to go back, you're going to have to rebuild the ships. But as for me, I'm going in. We all have to come to a burn the ships moment in our life. We all have to come so become so convinced of the call of God, the plan of God, the promise of God, at some point that we're willing to set fire to everything else, our means of escape. You know, I used to say this, that being successful means getting good at plan B. Now I'm starting to realize being successful means never even having a plan B. It's being fully convinced of God's plan A. Amen? But there has to be something in us that doesn't waver. In my experience, I found that understanding the purpose of something greatly enhances the way I embrace it, and it raises its value. And this also applies to God's promise for taking new territory. You have to understand the purpose of a thing to flourish in a thing. Amen? See, the promise that God has given you personally is not an end in of itself. And if it is, that's really short-sighted on your behalf. Right? It's short-sighted to turn God's promise into only serving your needs. Can I say that again? It's short-sighted to turn God's promise that he gave you into a thing that only serves your needs. We need to make a distinction between personal promises and greater promises. See, God's promise is always aimed at accomplishing his purpose. So when God makes you a promise, he promises it to you for a purpose. Amen? And see, God's promise is for the fulfillment of his purpose. So the God's greater and final purpose is to advance his kingdom, the rule and the reality of his reign of heaven here on earth. And Jesus' promise that he will save us when we believe in him should be followed by our devotion to commit our lives to take new territory for his kingdom. And that is the greater promise. Amen? It's that you have been saved. Come on in. Welcome in. Welcome to the family of God. But guess what? Now it doesn't stop there. Now I want you to go into the streets, go into all the world, and proclaim the goodness of your Father who has already given you the promise. Now go out and put that promise on display for others. Take territory. Go into all the world and make disciples. See, too often what happens is this. See, we're happy with, and Michelle, if you'd come and I'll start winding up and I'll start winding down here. Too often what happens is this. We come in and we begin to see the promise of God being put on display in our life. We grab hold of that promise, boy, that promise of blessing, that promise of what God's going to do. And what we do is we just let it in there that God's going to bless me. And then it just affects me. Come on. But it doesn't always stop there. See, God's promises have a purpose. And that purpose is to possess the land, to take territory. See, God is calling you into the promise for the purpose of taking the land for Jesus. Amen? He didn't call us to just have nice little outposts where we all come in and we hide. and we have nice little functions and nice little meetings, and we high-five one another, and we have great potlucks, and we have wonderful chili cook-offs, and we have nice church picnics, and all those things are good. I mean, come on, those are good. I'm happy when we're grilling something. I love the fellowship of that. I love the part of being part of the family of God. But please understand, being part of the family of God means that there is a territory that we have to possess in the name of Jesus. For us here at River Church, that territory is Wise County. Amen? Because isn't that where we all live? Isn't that where we are? And whatever promise God has made to you personally, it's for the purpose of reaching this community, possessing this territory, grabbing hold of this land. Amen? See, we're called to put our faith in Jesus for our salvation, but this is followed by devoting our lives to point others towards the loving relationship with Jesus themselves. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says this. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, say Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We are just one in a long line of territory-taking believers. Your call is no different than Abraham's. Your call is no different than Adam's. Your call is no different than Joshua. Your call is no different than Moses. It's to expand the kingdom. Amen? Say, Pastor James, what does that mean? That means we start with ourselves. Then we start with our families. Come on. I mean, you know, it's got to move to your family. My desire is that every person that calls the River Church home, not only are they saved, but that their families are saved. Amen? But how many of you know it can't stop at the front door of our house? It has to pour into our neighborhoods. It has to pour into our workplaces. It has to pour into our communities. It has to pour into God bless it, Walmart. It's got to go into the highways and the byways and into every street and every corner. People need to see the love of Jesus on display. And we fight a little differently than the enemy does. But we fight with greater purpose, greater promise, and greater power. Welcome to the invasion. Amen? And I love how Lewis said it. We are on a campaign of sabotage. And I want this church to be known for sabotaging the work of the enemy in people's lives. I don't want to mess his plans so far up that they just don't work here anymore. Amen? I want to get in there and I want to get right up in the mix of the enemy's plan, and I want to screw it up so badly for him that he just turns around and gives up. Amen?